We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's my absolute favorite time of the week, Audrey. Not just Friday, but it's Friday at 7 o'clock. Which means the start of Tech Vibe Radio, where we get to sit back, stretch out, and talk to great companies, great men, great women who are just really kicking butt these days.
Yeah,
like,
they
it's like
are.
An honor. Like it's like
it is an honor. I said that after my 10-year anniversary.
Exactly.
I said I really believe that it's an honor to do this work.
It is. It is.
So I even though you're a pain in my rear end.
I'm a total pain in your rear end.
I totally think this is an honor to do this work.
I agree. You know, pain is part of the process, right?
You are a pain. You are a pain.
I'm just saying. I mean, it's like...
The work is... It's so interesting. We're in our 35th year, right? I've had an incredible amount of time to meet still, people who were still founding. Just recently, I met someone who was participated in the Tech Council at the onset, and it's so fascinating.
I think I know that guy.
What their vision was, and what they really thought the problems were, and how they really had the right questions that were being asked, and trying to form the right experiments.
Okay,
but the issues are the same,
and they're the same everywhere you go.
They are in many ways.
Yeah.
The question is, what's the trick and how do you balance all the variables, right?
Yeah. Let us know.
The more that we become more articulate about what it is that's happening in a particular city or in a particular region, you know, the more there's this proliferation of information that gets democratized. So everyone's got an opinion.
Absolutely.
And everyone can post it, they can tweet it, they can figure it out, they got an opinion. You know, and sometimes we say, okay, that's interesting, that's fascinating, and people ride the coattails. But then there's this, you know, this educated school of thought about economic development, people, processes, technology, education. And, you know, some people think there's like a thought out way to try to do that work.
Right.
Excuse
but
me.
But it's coming down to people.
But it really all comes down to people. And
exactly.
It really all comes down to an array of people. And so we live in this world where the tensions proliferate. The tensions proliferate around diversity, mm-hmm. around what does it mean to be inclusive? What does it mean to have biases? How does that impact the world? Our politics, you know, you take all those kind of complexities and you say, okay, so what does that mean for Pittsburgh? Let's just sort of boil it down. We can get all the way up and, you know, into the atmosphere, but let's just boil it down. We still in Pittsburgh and in, you know, because of the complexity of the layout of Pittsburgh, because there's boroughs and there's townships and all these things. But let's just say
Southwestern Pennsylvania,
which includes the metro area of Pittsburgh.
Includes Allegheny County.
Right.
Right?
And beyond. We still are flat. We're still flat in our population growth.
But we were losing at one point, right?
Well, I'm being polite.
Okay.
I'm being polite. I'm trying not to be that negative, and I'm trying to be polite.
No, keep being polite. I like
that. And we have an aging population that's pretty strong, and but so do many other cities.
Right.
You know, you take Miami, you take Nashville, you take places where there are a lot of retirees that are going or people who are aging in place. Those cities are growing. Those cities are growing. Nashville's growing 92 people a day. So they're growing.
What does Pittsburgh grow a day?
Pittsburgh's right now at a minus.
Minus
right.
Two
they're at a minus,
like
right? So there's people moving in here more than before.
Right.
But it is not enough to replenish
what's
the people who are dying.
Okay.
And the people who are not staying.
Who are not staying.
Okay.
Interesting.
So, but we have the most employment than we've ever had before.
I know. That's what
we've had the most employment even compared to the times when people were working in the steel mills.
So it's a
complicated analysis. But what's the most simple piece of it is that we actually still do need more people because, as we hear from many of our guests, and we have a front row seat, Bombardier moves into Pittsburgh, and you know they're not going to be sitting out in West Mifflin anymore.
Phillips does the same thing.
Exactly. Everyone's building their capacity locally, and they are saying that they want a piece of that pie, and they know that the talent is here. So something is happening, right?
Exactly.
We're not keeping our college grads, but there's also another thing happening. Carnegie Mellon, they started an undergraduate degree in artificial intelligence. September will be their first undergraduate class.
Very exciting.
It is the first one in the world. It is so important. It is very, very exciting. All those students are going to be gobbled up pretty quickly. What are we doing here locally to get engaged with those students the minute that they put their foot on the ground,
so
that they understand the kinds of opportunities that are there. But the other thing is that not enough people are going into the kinds of jobs, the kinds of undergraduate mm-hmm. degrees and graduate degrees that align with the opportunities for work. Okay?
But those change so quickly. Because sometimes it might take a couple years to get those skills, but in a couple years now,
right, so
it doesn't align. So what do we do?
Here's Audrey's answer.
Yeah, what's your answer?
My answer is that we
get an English degree.
People
and beg.
No, yeah. You can get an English degree. You can get a poli sci degree. You can get a degree in communications and marketing. I don't care about that.
Okay.
What I do care about is that you need to learn how to build something. You need to learn how to build a company.
Right.
You need to learn how to start something.
Right.
Because if you think that you're just going to, you know,
makes
the
sense.
Jobs
no,
that
I
are
like
huge,
that. I like that,
that
a lot.
Huge demand. Are in math, are in science, are definitely in the harder areas. Not all of us are prepped to go into those arenas. Not all of us want to be in data science. Not all of us have a passion around some of those things. So my view is, how are we teaching people how to build the new economy?
Right.
How to build their piece in the new economy.
Exactly. And if it's not an entire company, it's something that gets plugged into
it gets
something.
Plugged
to
in.
To take
and
ownership.
A value problem.
Not be a drone.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
As far
how
as
do you
that
build
is.
That?
Right.
And so to me, that's the piece that's missing in the pipeline. And the pipeline and the development for that happens really early.
Well, who do you see anyone addressing that at all? I mean
well,
looking at different.
The universities, great universities are addressing it. They all have entrepreneurial programs. They're working hard. I mean, you know that the University of Pitt has been, you know, wrestling with this over the years, and they're really doing a great job of trying to commercialize the technology that rests inside. But I'm not just talking about that. I'm talking about people who are in some of these other degrees and these other avenues that don't lie under science, technology, engineering, and math.
It's complex.
What's wrong with having an English undergrad or what did you do? Poetry?
No.
Jonathan has a degree in poetry.
I do not. I have a degree in English.
He's a poet.
I had an interest in poetry, but then I didn't have an interest in being a professional waiter. So I had an interest in making money.
But can you imagine if you went to school and that you had a chance to figure out ways to build upon your ideas? And that you were wrapped around that and so that you knew
there are
a lot of other avenues for you.
If I could have gone back 25 years ago,
So two things for me. It's always about internships at the earliest stage possible.
Right.
At the earliest stage possible. That's pre-
And bringing different
college.
Mindsets in to expose and show and everything
And learning how to build something.
And we're all on the hook to do this.
All of us.
Yes.
All of us. So that's my story. I'm sticking to it.
I love it, Audrey. Good stuff,
thanks,
man.
Everyone.
Good stuff. So
stay
today's show,
us.
Audrey.
Yeah, what's going on?
Got some cool companies stopping by. First off, Gray Matter and CNX team.
I know.
Up.
Love those.
Cool
folks.
Combination going on here where, you know, Gray Matter is analyzing all the data CNX produces.
And listen, Gray Matter Systems has been around for a long time.
They have
That's
been.
Another one. 28 years
28
or something
years,
like that?
And I always think of this being like a startup, but
no,
they're not. They're
Jim
absolutely
Gillespie
not.
Had He's a vision been, early on, right?
Absolutely.
Really cool.
So we also have the University of Pittsburgh, their Innovation Institute is stopping by. They had a record number of companies spun out last year, which
Very
we're going to talk about.
Very proud of them.
Love the fact they're just, they're
They've
all,
been really working hard over these last few years.
I have
really
two
have.
Words for them. Laser focused.
They have been.
Simple
really
that. And our good friend Dennis Rudd from New Horizons is stopping by. I mean, he's helping with the skills gap stuff.
A PhD from Robert Morris.
I know. I love it, man.
Love that.
What a good guy. He's got a ton of fun energy.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited to have all these people stop by the show tonight. Audrey, always fun hosting the show with you, telling these great stories and making Pittsburgh tick. We're coming right back after this quick break. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
Learn more about the Pittsburgh Technology Council by swinging on over to pghtech.org. Thanks so much. It's Friday night, bringing you Tech Vibe Radio. Too much fun hanging out with great people, Audrey. Every single Friday, we hang out with the cool kids in Pittsburgh's technology sector, man. Simple as that.
Yes, we do. Yeah. And it is very nice to have Dennis Rudd back.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
So we're here to talk about some new things that are happening at New Horizons.
New things with New Horizons.
What's the website for New Horizons?
Yeah.
So
website
we get that
is www.nhpittsburgh.com.
Like New Horizons Pittsburgh.
You got it.
nhpittsburgh.com.
That's easy to remember.
You're bringing tech skills to the people, man.
We
Simple
are.
As that. Really important stuff.
So what are some of the new things? You have some new classes, new relationships that people should know about.
We do. Definitely. We do. Interestingly enough, our title for our company may have computer learning centers in it, but we do a lot more than that. We're really proud of a new product we put out called the Center for Leadership and Development. It's a group of 26 courses that train individuals on professional development, leadership skills, interpersonal communications, and we're competing with companies like AMA or Carnegie Learning. And I think we have a really good product that's been doing well in the enterprise market in Pittsburgh.
Wow.
Very cool.
Yep. And so what kinds of skills will they learn?
Well, there's lots of classes focused on the development of virtual workforce. We know that many people do work from home.
Absolutely,
and
man.
Managers are definitely not always skilled in working with a remote workforce.
Yeah.
Is putting a camera in someone's home wrong to do?
It's not. Most of our meetings do require that you have a camera on you so that we know where you are and you're not on a beach somewhere.
Exactly.
Really?
Yeah, we really do.
Oh,
it's pretty,
you can
it's
learn
impressive.
A lot at the beach.
You can.
They want you at home suffering.
They also teach a lot about multicultural and diversity in organizations. We have an influx of various cultures in the Pittsburgh
right.
market, and we don't always understand how to interact with those cultures. Mm-hmm. We might be offensive in some way. You know, if you're
Pittsburghers offensive?
I can't possibly imagine that. So courses like that really
cool.
develop leadership and interpersonal skills that managers who get promoted don't always have.
That's cool. That's great. So there's been a demand to that.
Absolute demand.
You've also got a partnership with Penn State.
It's an amazing partnership.
Yeah, tell us about this partnership. This is a big deal, man.
It is
We're excited.
A pretty big deal. It's the Penn State Beaver Campus. I have the luxury of working with Dr. Deborah Roach, who is also from my alma mater at Robert Morris. We both got our PhDs there.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so we met at a picnic, and I said, I'm having so much trouble with the Department of Education in Pennsylvania. We're a privately licensed school. They don't always like to approve our programs.
Right.
So we had a wonderful idea to form a partnership with Penn State. We created three programs, Six Sigma, cybersecurity, and project management. And I can't tell you, they have been absolutely amazing. We're helping people get retrained on green belt, black belt.
Such important skills, too.
We've had three people go through the program and get six-digit jobs when they're finished.
Are
just
serious?
From getting the black belt certification.
Just from getting the black belt certification.
It's an amazing,
See,
amazing
only in Pittsburgh, we go to a picnic with someone that you got your PhD with, right? And then saying, hey, I'm having this problem. Like, hey, we can work together on this. And you do. And you're
do.
Solving tough problems.
And we're helping people get jobs.
And you say, pass the mayo because I need something on my sandwich
that's
here.
Right,
and then,
right.
you know, problem solved.
That's right.
Tasty sandwiches and, you know, skills for people.
A little beer occasionally,
and a little
too.
Beer on the side. That's Pittsburgh, too.
Microbrewery. So got to have it.
All good. Now, that's fantastic. So how long ago did you spend that up with Penn State?
That's about 2.5 years we've been working on that partnership.
Really?
We're going to be starting a cloud program as well. We've been talking about AWS and Azure, obviously very popular,
definitely.
Not just in our market, but all around the world.
Of course. Yeah. Very neat. So that's going to be happening as well, too. Wow, I can't keep up with you.
I can't either.
Talk about some of these other programs that you have going on, like some of the things, like you have Help Desk Institute.
I'm a volunteer for the Help Desk Institute. If you're not familiar with it and you're in ITSM at all.
It's called HDI in certain circles, right?
It is called HDI. That's right.
I'm just that smart.
And you are that smart. Well done.
So what does that mean?
Well, what happens is as a volunteer for the organization, I'm co-VP of programs, and we promote 8 different programs throughout the year at various companies in Pittsburgh to help train, collaborate, network with anybody that's in Help Desk. And you know, Help Desk is the often, you know, looked down upon.
I started my tech career in Help Desk.
I know that they're always yelling at us when we call them on the phone, though. So that's kind of what happens sometimes. So we like to give them training to make sure that they get all the new technologies, all the new leadership skills that they need to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
We're actually following in the footsteps of PTC. We've been inspired by you and your Tech 50 event.
Yeah.
Oh,
next
wow.
year, we're going to be doing a tech showcase.
Right.
We're
wow.
trying to work with some local universities and any company that's building unique technology.
So great.
Helping promote them.
Showcase it.
That's
right.
right? Showcase it up.
That's awesome. So for 2019, you want to kind of hopefully start.
That's right. That's right. And if you need that website, that's www.hdisteelcity.com.
Steelcity.com.
I did say Steel City. We're Pittsburgh proud.
I like that.
You had a recent trip to Vegas.
I did. And it was not just for fun. There was more than just fun. I did focus and learn.
You focused for an hour, right?
I focused for an hour.
Yeah, okay.
But the Microsoft Inspire event, mm-hmm. which used to be called, it was their partner event. There are about 30,000 people there.
Just 30,000 people?
What a small crowd.
I know. Yeah, it was a small crowd. Only Vegas could handle that.
Yeah. I know. Who can handle 30,000 people?
It was really cool to see Satya Nadella, the CEO of Microsoft, present about the current trends.
Yeah,
the
he's
wonderful.
Great.
He's amazing.
He's great.
Yeah,
amazing.
What was your key takeaway from
I think my key takeaway is to learn more about the intelligent edge and the intelligent cloud. Those are the big buzzwords from Microsoft this year.
What is the intelligent edge?
It's interesting. We got to talk about the intelligent cloud quickly first.
Yeah, well, okay.
Instead of humans going in and running all of these reports off of data,
bots.
You can build these algorithms mm-hmm. that look at the data, look for patterns and trends, and then output useful information.
Is that like a bot?
On demand?
Kind of like a bot. On
demand.
Yeah. And intelligent edge is a newer term that deals with the peripherals that are on the outside of the network. Obviously very important for Pittsburgh.
Right.
On the edge,
okay.
Manufacturing devices that are capturing all this data. What do you do with that data? How do you analyze it? Microsoft has a series of tools in Azure, Power BI, their analytics tools that are very powerful in generating information that's useful to companies. Our organization trains on those technologies. So it's a perfect fit for that evolution to happen and New Horizons to be on that training wagon.
Wow. What aren't you doing? So what's your call to action for people? Who should be listening to this radio segment and saying, boy, I got to jump in and share this information with who?
I think it's a really good question. I think both business to business, so anybody who's an enterprise organization, small, medium, or large, but people often forget that we train on the business to consumer. We work with TAA funding. We work with post 911 GI Bill, so for veterans.
Oh, wow.
We do WIOA training at the CareerLink offices. So whether it's enterprise or business, or whether it's I've lost my job has been outsourced and I need funding, we can help them to get the training.
And how do you help veterans?
Well, we put them through three of our programs that we have. There's a desktop technician program that we put them through to get A+, Net+, and Security+.
Mm-hmm.
We have an educational consultant that helps them transition from the military world into the business world, giving them ideas on interview tips, suggestions on how you should dress, mm-hmm. how you should change your skills from the military world and transition them into words that mean something to business managers.
Right.
Really interesting.
Yeah, we really do love working with veterans. My father's a retired Army captain, very proud of that.
Awesome.
So I'm very, very happy to help any veteran who needs training to get back in the workforce.
Awesome.
You get to have a lot of fun doing what you do.
You do.
And it shows. You got good
passion
for it.
You do smile a lot, don't you?
Absolutely. So NH Pittsburgh for New Horizons.
NHPittsburgh.com.
Pittsburgh.com. Like, there's so much going on there. You got to just soak in and see where it makes sense for you or people that you know, because you're really being able to fill those gaps in where those gaps need to be filled when it comes to skills and things like that.
You got it.
Level. So glad you could hang out with us today, Dennis.
I'm very proud to be here, and I'm very pleased to see both of you again.
No, likewise, always great to see you.
We'll have to have you back on for an update.
Absolutely.
Because I know it's going to be 100 more things you guys are spinning up.
I don't know if I can talk all about that,
I'll
limit my list.
I know, right?
You probably have a few more picnics to go to this summer, you'll have more things being spun up.
It's coming in September. Maybe I'll make another partnership with another university.
Absolutely, man. I love it. Thanks for stopping out, Dennis.
Thank
New Horizons
much.
Pittsburgh. Go there. Check them out. Great place to fill your skills gaps. Simple as that. So,
yeah, great work.
So much more Tech Vibe Radio in front of us.
Ooh,
I can't hardly wait. I love it.
Fun.
This keeps happening, keeps coming. All sorts of good stuff. We're taking a quick break. We are coming right back. I swear. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
And we are from the Pittsburgh Technology Council. Or the last time I checked, Audrey, it's been 35 years now that the PTC has been helping tech companies succeed. We love it, man. We are here to make connections for people, help find talent, all the good stuff. So learn more about us at pghtech.org. Follow us on Twitter at PGHTech. Too much fun hanging out on a Friday night, Audrey. I tell you what, this segment, it's going to be crazy. I'm looking forward to it.
Are you? Well,
yeah.
Then I think we should just jump in.
You have some friends here. You have some friends here.
I
know.
The house here.
Absolutely.
We got these two groovy women that are driving some change in what some people might be surprised.
That's what I'm talking about.
Some big companies, a company like CNX and Gray Matter.
Yeah.
So let's just jump in and let them both introduce themselves.
Absolutely.
Just say who they are,
and
what their role is,
what they do, and all that kind of fun stuff.
Okay, so with CNX, I'm Andrea Passman. I'm the Vice President of Engineering and Development. And so within our team, we have a group of people that work on all of the design of our wells and what we're going to be doing out there, drilling and fracking. And then we have another team, which is a relatively new team in the last year, which is all around data operations, uh-huh. which is why we're here today to talk with Gray Matter about what we've done with them in terms of utilizing our data to really drive fundamental change in the company and take advantage of what we have and kind of take that to that next level.
Very cool.
Nice. So I am Carrie McEwen, and I am the CMO, the Chief Marketing Officer for Gray Matter. And what we do is we help take your operational data, which is the machines that are making things, making energy, cleaning water, and we take all of that data and make it more visible to you and help make your people smarter.
And it makes it actionable, right?
And so what kind of data might that be? So some people
data,
who are listening, they would go, what do you mean? What kind
of
data?
So if machines are working or if they're not working, sometimes it's helpful to know that at 3 a.m., they stopped working for 3 hours every night while no
one
was on
the ship. Assets at CNX are huge when you start thinking about some of this equipment.
Billions and billions of dollars in the ground and out there in the field. And Gray Matter is helping us exactly do that, figure out if they're up or down and actually predicting before they even go down. So maximum operational capability out there.
So but how did you guys link up? I'm always curious when you have a big company like CNX and we have kind of like a, not a small company, but Gray Matter, so, you know, they're up and coming company doing their thing. And how'd you guys link up?
I think it's a Pittsburghers for Pittsburghers.
Yeah.
Right?
At school.
At school. Okay.
At CMU, actually.
Really? Even so, better yet. I love it.
So I, myself being a petroleum engineer by background, was going to CMU about 2 years ago to just get more up to speed. You know, in the petroleum industry, we've been building neural nets and using machine learning and using advanced algorithms for quite some time.
Right.
But the language has changed quite a bit. You know, in the evolution of R and Python and those skills, we see people coming in the door with those skills. But as a VP of a group, I really wanted to fundamentally understand how do we leverage this technology.
Right.
So I went back to CMU to try to learn about that. Thank you, Carnegie Mellon, for helping me out.
Awesome.
And that's where I met Jim.
Right.
And, that's great. The founder of Gray Matter.
Exactly.
Jim Gillespie. Absolutely.
Yes. Jim and I met there. And that was sort of the budding relationship. And, you know, he was one of the people in the class that really just brought another level to my knowledge and learning. And so just reached out to him and said, hey, how do we take this to the next level?
Nice.
And that's when he told me about some other projects they had done in oil and gas. And then we had some specific case studies that we were looking at, and that's where he got involved.
That's what I'm talking about. That's a Pittsburgh story right there.
Yes, it is.
So then, that now let's move it. Let's unravel it a little bit just so that people can understand. So break it down. There might be people here who just don't understand. They're not petroleum engineers.
Yeah, so, you know, in the case of where we're at today with Gray Matter, what happens is every time a well goes down and it's not producing an MCF, 1,000 cubic feet of gas coming out of the ground, that means we're not making any money,
exactly.
Which is what we're in the business to do.
You do.
And so we wanted to be able to predict before a well shut in. When a well shuts in, the valve closes and no more gas comes out of the ground. And it can shut in for a myriad of reasons. Operationally, the system is very complex out there.
Yeah.
And so when it does shut in, we start losing money. And so what we did was we reached out to Gray Matter and we said, help us look at our massive amount of data, terabytes of data, and tell us if you can predict within 2 hours if a well goes down before it does.
So Jim was like, I have data to crunch.
Yeah, totally. Right? And so what we did was we worked with their data scientists to try to understand and choose the algorithms that would let us predict when that occurred. And we were targeting within a 50% of preventing wells from actually going down before they do, which is worth millions and millions of dollars to us a year.
Absolutely, right.
Yeah, I'm not going to tell Gray Matter specifically because they'll raise the price on it.
Right, exactly.
Right, I totally get that.
They're helping you a little bit, right? It's a little bit. Right.
It's a significant change in our business model. And then that has really allowed us to sort of start stepping out of the box even more and saying, where else in our business can we now predict? So, for example, when you're performing a frac job, at some point, you can overpressure and the reservoir or the ground won't take any more of that fluid.
Right.
And at that point, you're shut down again, which that costs, every time that happens, that's $150,000 to us.
Holy
every
smokes.
Time. So
every single time.
That could happen how many times a day or a week?
Yeah. It's typically within a year. You see it a couple times within a year. But if you can prevent that, a lot of times it's just human error. right? Somebody not watching the nuances in the data.
Right.
And so working with companies like Grey Matter that can do those predictive analytics and help us prevent that happening can save us that $150,000 every time.
Wow.
And then the other great thing about Grey Matter is they're working with us to teach our own people how to utilize this technology.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about
it.
They're empowering you as well, too,
and so
on top
are
of
you helping people who have not necessarily the kind of background that Andrea has? Because a lot of people, I mean, get intimidated by some of this.
It turns the operators into analysts because they're able to see everything on big dashboards. And so instead of there being an email, it kind of breaks the whole chain of command.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't really an overarching manager saying this, this, and this, and we just got word, this is a crisis. Now it opens the door for everyone to look at that data.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what empowers those people to make better decisions and sort of say, if we go this way, maybe I could think of a new idea. And it helps them feel like they're part of the
decision. So for the first
time
for them, they're seeing information that they never had access to as well.
And that's a really big part
of it. So they're operating in the dark sometimes, right? Reactive.
Reactive instead of proactive.
Right.
Which definitely changes the tune because now instead of watching money go out the door, you're preventing it from everywhere.
Right. Exactly.
And it helps for people like you to be able to be more visionary. And some of the higher level, it steps up that level too. Because if your operators become analysts, then everybody moves up the chain.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, this money that you're saving can fund innovation.
For sure. Just reminding our listeners, we are talking to Andrea Passman, the VP of Engineering and Development at CNX, and Carrie McQuoon, the CMO at Grey Matter. A cool combination of companies coming together.
It's a nice collision.
Very nice collision.
Andrea,
like
just for anyone listening, how did you decide to become a petroleum engineer?
So I grew up in Alaska in a gold mine. And I decided.
That's why you're so rich.
Yeah. You know, I had this vision in my head of like Dallas, where I was going to be riding around on my ranch with my horse and my oil rig in the background. Didn't quite work out that way. But I did want to go into oil and gas, being an Alaskan, and my grandfather had leases in the Cook Inlet. And so Colorado School of Mines recruited me from Alaska. And from there, I worked in Venezuela. I've worked in Malaysia. I've worked in South America multiple times, all over the U.S. Eventually, I found myself going back for an MBA. And really, around 10 years ago is when the data thing actually really started happening with unconventionals and shales.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because it's
as
not...
As Marcel spun up, right? That
yeah.
Was sort of driving
and,
that.
And so I joined CNX, formerly Consolve, 4.5 years ago to really help transform the company and start really driving us towards that technology. And that's really what my role has been as a change agent, to bring us into this new Pittsburgh era, to really sort of recreate CNX in this startup era.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, Audrey, you and I have joked about unicorns. We're building unicorns.
I know.
Totally.
I mean, we want engineers that are petroleum engineers and chemical engineers and geologists that have their technical discipline, that understand finance and what that means to the business. And then the third key is that data piece. And you would be amazed at the number of young professionals that are coming in already with R and Python skills. I know my alma mater, Colorado School of Mines, they integrate data analytics into the regular engineering program, just like CMU, just like a lot of the schools that are doing it out there. It's amazing.
And so are you looking for talent right now at CNX? Are you?
Yeah, so we actually are just graduating 8 young engineers out of our rotation program. They have been taught how to use RSolver. Some of them have some basic Python skills. We have 7 petroleum engineers and a chemical engineer graduating from that program. They're now looking for their first jobs inside the company. Most of them have been placed. Yes. Very excited about them. And then as well, we'll start another program. So we're actively starting to recruit for that program again. And that program will kick off in the spring of 2019.
And so if people are interested, how do they find out about that?
On the website, they can go and apply for the program when it opens up. And we have a number of open positions always. But certainly when it comes to an analytics background, that's like a key up.
Got to have that.
Yep.
So coming from Alaska and all the different places that you've been, what's your take on Pittsburgh?
So, you know, Pittsburgh and Alaska have a lot of similarities in that people
here are cold in the wintertime.
It's a little chilly. So you laugh. When I first talked to CNX, they said, well, you'd be used to living here because, you know, you're from Alaska and it's really cold. And I said, yeah.
Yeah, well, whatever.
And, you know, really, I think what's great about Pittsburgh and certainly this city is how much it has welcomed me being an outsider.
That's great.
And people here take care of people, which is no different from Alaska. And I will say, too, that... Alaskans care a lot about the environment mm-hmm. and where they live and work. And being somebody that's been in oil and gas for 22 years, where I live and where I work is the same. And so we really want to do a good job making sure we're taking care of the environment and the communities around us. And CNX matches right up with those core values for me.
We've known you guys for years. Cool. And we know absolutely true, without a doubt. Still got about a minute left real fast with Gray Matter. People want to learn more about Gray Matter and how you help people crunch massive amounts of data.
That's
to get great insights out of it.
Yeah, and it's part of the same thing. We're about what's moving the world right now, which is this tech energy combination,
right.
Tech and manufacturing, tech and water. Everyone wants to be a startup in their own company, mm-hmm. and you can do it. And we're here to tell you, you can do it with a project, and you can start with a small piece, and then it grows into a whole new enterprise.
And it's great to have a local partner.
It is great, right?
I'm just so happy you guys linked up like this. I think it's such a great story.
Are you hiring with Gray Matter?
Gray Matter is also, we're expanding. We just had an acquisition in Denver, so we're all over the country and Canada as well, but we're expanding here rapidly. Too.
Great stuff.
Awesome. So great.
Yeah, I'm taking a quick break. We're coming back. More Tech Vibe Radio. Thanks, guys, for hanging
out
with us and telling this awesome story.
Thanks, Gary.
Thank you so
much. Fantastic stuff. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
We're from the Pittsburgh Technology Council. Learn more about us at pghtech.org and then fly on over to Twitter at pghtech. I tell you what, I just love bringing the show every single Friday, Audrey, because sometimes we have really good friends that hang out with us, true partners of the Tech Council, organizations that are really making Pittsburgh tick.
Mm-hmm.
And the University of Pittsburgh, is doing some amazing work these days. Without a doubt.
They totally have been. They've been laser focused.
Yes.
So you can see it in some of the results. But we got these two guys in the office.
We do.
Here. We call it our office.
Yes.
We call it our office.
So we camp out.
Where we are right now.
Yes. It is an office.
Okay.
We have a secretary and everything. It's pretty fun. Just saying.
Yeah, he just doesn't know it. Excuse me. Where's my coffee?
We are being recorded.
We are. Absolutely. We love it, man. We love it. So let's just start with some introductions here. Let's start with you, Bob.
Bob Stein, Executive Director of the Institute for Entrepreneurial Excellence.
Excellent. And Mike?
And I'm Mike Yeomans, Marketing Communications at the Innovation Institute at the University of Pittsburgh.
Ah, so the two of you know each other, huh?
A little bit.
You hang out.
We're colleagues,
time.
I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're on the same
and
softball
we know you
team.
Too, both, as well.
No, it's really cool. So the Innovation Institute, this thing has really put Pitt into overdrive over the past few years. So Mike, tell us about the Institute real quick and why it was created and what it's doing. And then we're going to talk about some really cool numbers that
sure.
you guys are
so,
excited about.
About 5 years ago now, we're coming up on our fifth anniversary, the provost, Patty Beeson, who's returning mm-hmm. to her faculty position
yeah,
here shortly after
mine.
A successful
yeah.
tenure,
right.
her and the other top administrators decided that for the university to have an even bigger impact for the huge amounts of research that flow through the university every year, upwards of $800
million. $800 million.
Right.
Man.
It's a big number.
Don't tell anyone.
But for that to have a real impact on people's lives, the university needed to do a better job of getting that technology out of the university.
Into the marketplace.
And into the marketplace.
Start solving problems, saving lives, all that kind of good stuff.
Precisely. So that was the intent behind the formation of the Innovation Institute. So that brought together several different offices on the campus, including Bob's Institute for Entrepreneurial Excellence,
right.
As well as our Office of Technology Management, which handles the intellectual property, patenting and that sort of thing, and our Office of Enterprise Development, which is responsible for trying to spin out companies. So those were all brought under the roof of
Not
the
to mention
Institute.
The student entrepreneurship side of
exactly.
things.
Exactly.
We rolled that all up there,
yeah.
too.
So it gets everybody rowing that boat in that same direction, and that is getting technology, getting research off the bench mm-hmm. into the marketplace.
So it's been an incredible year. Obviously, it's been a journey. And, you're going to do even better next year, I'm sure. But can you talk about any patterns on the companies? Can you talk about anything that can tell us what some trends might be?
Well, Pitt is obviously very strong in the life sciences.
Right.
So, the trends are, we launched the Immune Transplant and Therapy Center this year at
right.
Pitt, focuses on our historic strength, mm-hmm.
right.
Dating back to the polio vaccine and Jonas Salk and the Dr. Starzl and organ transplantation. Well, that continues at Pitt.
Can you believe it? It's really amazing, isn't it, that work? I mean, I know even Pitt leads that work, like in tissue regeneration and and heart and et cetera. But a lot of this innovation is still the gift that keeps on giving. There's still more things that are coming out as a result of their legacy work.
Yeah, I mean, the faculty and students there today continue to build on that legacy with new immunotherapies, you know,
right.
seeking new ways to treat cancer and autoimmune diseases. And as you said, tissue regeneration. We have this really cool company that spun out this year called Ligenesis, where one of our faculty discovered that if you transplant liver cells into the lymph nodes, the lymph nodes basically act as a bioreactor and can create little mini livers inside the
Amazing.
Lymph nodes.
Wow.
Inside
See,
the liver?
That's
or
inside the lymph nodes.
Inside the lymph nodes? So like you're just full of liver?
Exactly. So if you're somebody who
chopped liver,
if you're somebody who has
when I say Jonathan's chopped liver,
like yes,
literally,
it's in my lymph nodes and everything.
Right, it's in your armpit and your stomach, wherever.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you have a bad liver, there's other ways to have the cleansing and functioning, because they call the liver the king of your organs.
Right. So what Dr. Lagasse discovered was if you can grow functional liver tissue. So if you have a failing liver and you can't get it, and you're not able to get a transplant,
right.
Or you're on a list.
Amazing.
You can.
Is it working now?
Done it in mice, and he's done it in pigs.
Wow.
Now the company that's now spun out is on its way to getting
Human
an
trials.
FDA clearance to start trials in people hopefully next year.
Right. So, Mike.
Wow, that's so crazy.
So, Mike,
right?
That's just one, though, of
that's
23
just,
companies
I know, that's
that
what
you
I'm
spun
saying.
Out setting this record for you guys.
Yes.
The previous year was like 15 or something like that.
And so, what are any of these companies also in materials? Because, like any material science, can you think of any there?
Well,
like,
I know we have
know?
Some, but off the top
that's
of my
fine.
Head.
That's fine. I'm not trying to put you on the spot. It's just exciting. I just get jazzed by this kind of stuff. And for a long time, Pittsburgh has been lagging. Despite the amazing research that's going on behind the walls, that they've been lagging in terms of commercializing it. So who, and for a myriad of reasons, it's certainly not the University of Pitt's fault at all. It's really about like sort of creating this entrepreneurial capability that inside the university.
Right.
And that's some of the work that both of you do
and when you go
to
from,
make happen.
Yeah.
So is it students that are taking this technology? Is it faculty?
Faculty or you know, using their research dollars, and then they're taking that research. We're forming the IP with the university, and then we're releasing them into the world.
Because there's been some cool successes from Pitt in students that have taken ideas and sort of brought it.
Yeah,
to the world
so
as well.
that's as Bob pointed out earlier, student entrepreneurship is one of the missions encapsulated within the Innovation Institute, and this year. We launched what's called the Big Idea Center for Student Entrepreneurship.
And thank you to the Randall family.
Yeah, $2 million
right.
gift over 4 years. That's
it's
fantastic.
Great way to get that primed up.
Yeah,
huh?
So it was our 11th year in.
Doing the competition, right?
This is fantastic.
Yeah, so the family's already given $1 million over the past 10 years to sponsor the competition. Now they're sort of doubling down on their investment.
Great.
They're they're liking what they're seeing and wanting
results.
To create more. And
exactly.
In fact, we have one of the startups this year, the one that actually won this year's the top $25,000 prize in the Randall Family Competition, now has gone on to Y Combinator, which I'm sure you're probably familiar
national
with.
Level.
One of the top accelerators in the country. So it goes to show. And for the first time, we had two companies, including four growers, that were accepted into the Rice Business Plan Competition, which is the most prestigious business plan competition in the country. So
great stuff on that side of the equation.
Mm-hmm. So people want to learn more about this. To remind our listeners, we are talking to Bob Stein and Mike Yeomans from the University of Pittsburgh, the Innovation Center, the Center for Entrepreneurship. If people want to learn more, where can they go and start checking out the Institute, the Center for Entrepreneurship?
They're an entrepreneur, a small business owner. Visit us at entrepreneur.pitt.edu.
Okay.
And for the Innovation Institute writ large, it's innovation.pitt.edu.
And so what else do you want? We have a few more minutes,
Absolutely,
right?
Of course.
So, you know, we get proud, obviously, because in our world we get very excited by the work that you're doing. What kinds of other things might you share that people would be surprised about?
Well, you know, I think on the economic development side of things, the city is really excited about some of these big technology giants that come in, Uber, Google, possibly Amazon. But what I think the town is forgetting is that we have all these traditional, closely held family businesses that are really the glue putting all this together.
Great point. Very good point.
And if they are not successful, these Main Street businesses aren't successful, then these big technology players aren't going to come.
Right.
And so the trend recently is that the economy as a whole is rising. Not only the big guys, but the little businesses
small guys
as well.
Too.
Well, you know, the Kaufman report from last year released that we were doing terrible.
Always trashes us.
No, but they did a good thing. They did one good thing. So they trashed us on entrepreneur sort of startup world.
Yeah.
You know, whatever.
You're number 40 out
of
40, I think, or something like that.
And, you know, we brought the researchers in and talked to them.
Yeah, right.
Remember. But the flip side, like 6 months later, they ranked us like number 16 in small businesses, meaning that, or no, not 16.
How
like
long they
maybe
last,
like
right?
number four.
Yeah.
And that number.
Longevity.
Longevity of companies that are 50 and below, who are very much the Main Street businesses, that Pittsburgh is a highly desirable place to do business.
Well, the cost of living's low. Pittsburgh is a big, small town. And there are organizations like the Tech Council, like Callus Connection, like the IEE and the Innovation.
Well, no, but really what they're saying is in your space in particular is that family-run businesses where people can have great businesses. They can have great lives and great businesses.
Definitely.
This is a desirable place to. Not everyone wants to be a unicorn. Not everyone's going to be a unicorn.
Right.
Not every one of these companies that come out. So that was my point to your work, that there are families and there are people doing this
family
kind of work.
Business is very
and the Kaufman flips the report, because I called them after the report. I go, you researchers know what you're talking about. We stunk in entrepreneurship, and now we're like one of the top four in terms of small businesses. And they said the proliferation of families, small businesses, is it's a desirable outcome. It takes all of us to become, you know, an important place.
Pittsburghers are loyal. We like we're loyal to our businesses that we've done business with for a long time, and that proves it.
Absolutely.
So are you seeing any trends now in terms of time with family businesses that people, in terms of succession planning, can you talk a little bit about that?
It's important. I mean, you know, we're seeing the fourth, fifth generations of these longtime businesses come in. IE plays a big role in helping plan that out 5 to 10 years in advance of when that actually needs to happen. So,
love it. Got about a minute or so left. Just school's coming back in session before we know it. It's going to be the end of August. What's happening at the Institute as students come back? What are some programs that are going to be happening?
So
stuff like that.
We're going to hit the ground running immediately. I mean, we have for our internal folks, we have workshops on commercializing their technology. We have classes for the students. We're having this cool partnership with IBM. They're going to sponsor.
Okay.
It's called Blue Hack.
Yeah.
So they're going
cool.
Yeah, they're going to come in and talk to our students about innovation in the in the sort of the cloud computing, Internet of Things space.
And we have Disney Institute come in September 13th. Teaching
Fantastic.
Leadership excellence. Yep.
Very cool. I'm so
That's
excited.
Great.
Glad
Thank
you
for
guys.
The work.
Yeah.
Thank you for the work
Thank
that
you.
You do.
Thanks for having
Thank
us.
You. Absolutely.
Yeah,
thanks
for Lovely
your
office.
We want regular updates. I'm glad you came to the office. We try to make it comfortable for everybody as far as that goes. But hey, another tech vibe under the belt. Summer, I feel like, is like vanishing. It's like ridiculous, but we're having too much of a good time.
And drink your margaritas now.
Yeah. Hey, we're ready to go.
Okay.
Simple as
Thank
that.
You.
Anyhow, learn more about the Tech Council by going to pghtech.org. Follow us on Twitter at pghtech. So many great stories going on out there. Keep up with us every single Friday here at 7 o'clock. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
Have a great weekend, everyone.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.